weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world.
I'm your host, Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Over the last few weeks, Illinois has already seen severe thunderstorms, strong winds, and heavy rainfall. But as spring fades, the state is heading towards a warmer and more humid season.
For Chicago, it's only going to get warmer, and really for the rest of the Midwest as well. This is going to be an expansive heat dome parked over spots that maybe have felt left out of the heat.
If you're a fan of the summer-like temperatures, that's going to be the main trend here for the remainder of the month, all the way through Sunday to conclude May. Highs will trend in the 80s for the vast majority of us, coupled with dry weather as well.
Summer in Illinois officially kicks off in June, which means hotter temperatures, moist soils, abundant water, and warm air flowing from the Gulf of Mexico. But it also means there might be some weather hazards along the way. Summer weather conditions can create powerful thunderstorms, flash flooding, to dangerous heat waves and drought. Joining us to talk about what summer weather might look like in Illinois is Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so getting to this summer, everybody's waiting to hear what the summer is going to look like. Are we going to continue to see our sort of cold outbreaks that we're getting here with a lot of active severe weather? What are the outlooks kind of looking like right now for June into the rest of the summer?
Yeah, right now it looks pretty close to a normal summer across Illinois and surrounding portions of the Midwest. And, you know, that sounds pretty simple. But when you think about what's a normal summer, well, we're going to have some weeks that are pretty hot with, you know, uncomfortable heat and humidity with temperatures in the 90s. We're going to have cooler weeks as well when we get maybe a stormier pattern to kind of slip in. So, again, when we look at these seasonal forecasts, we're kind of looking for, you know, where is there a really loud signal? Like, you know, where is the loudest signal for heat and drought? And when you kind of look at that this summer, it's setting up further west across parts of the northwestern parts of the U.S. or, you know, west of the Rocky Mountains. And that is climatologically, you know, pretty normal as we get into June, July, and August. And when we look at, you know, rainfall and temperature patterns here, as the jet stream kind of reacts to that, we'll probably fall into a pattern here where we get this ridge of high pressure out west, jet stream kind of coming up over the top of that ridge and at times bringing in subtle little jet stream disturbances that stir up the heat and humidity across the Midwest and bring us those thunderstorm clusters. So it gets a little bit tougher when you get into the summer because the jet stream starts to weaken. It starts to kind of retreat northward up towards Canada. So we move away from watching these big storm systems that we see in the springtime that are easy to get a 5 to 10 day kind of early read on, like, hey, we got this big storm system coming in early next week, looks problematic maybe from a severe weather standpoint, and you just get back into a kind of a little, I guess we call it more of a nowcast situation where these storm systems are much smaller and weaker. And you know, when you've got a lot of heat and humidity in the atmosphere, it doesn't take much in the way of a storm system to kind of kick off thunderstorm clusters. So I'm kind of walking away from the actual forecast here, but it kind of looks like just about everything is on the table this summer. And while that might not sound like a forecast, it's certainly different than some of the other years where we went into it saying, hey, this looks like a really hot, dry summer, like really high confidence a ridge is going to set up over us and keep rain away. That's not something we see right now. And, you know, the other edge of that would be, does it look like a super stormy and very cool summer? Not necessarily there either. So kind of just somewhere right in between. You know, I think it will lean a little stormier at times, but I think we're going to also find those dry windows, absolutely.
Yeah, so a lot of times people think of summer as these hot, dry conditions in Illinois. But here, it turns out that our wettest month is during summer. It's June. And we typically average over 5 inches of rain during that time. Why does Illinois usually get a lot of rain, especially in the early summer?
Yeah, you're right. We've just got a lot of moisture available. And we talk about kind of precipitable water is a term that we don't talk about a lot when we're actually giving forecasts, unless we have a lot of it. And so we've just got a lot of moisture content within the atmosphere. Again, it doesn't take quite as much to kind of get these big storms going that have these torrential downpours. So every summer is going to be quite different. We have a pretty big range in our rainfall during the summertime. But yeah, summer, it's an easy time to get some of these bigger, heavy rain-producing thunderstorms across the Midwest with a lot of atmospheric energy to kind of be candid there in place.
Yeah, I like to think of June as kind of our what we call our mesoscale convective system month. So these are big, organized systems. We all know these big storms that roll typically through in the evening or nighttime hours here in Illinois. This is a feature of our climate here that helps promote our corn belt because we're getting the soils really moist and ready for the whole growing season. But can you talk about those patterns and how they set up during the summertime?
Absolutely. So again, we kind of talked about we move away from the springtime with the big organized jet stream and these big areas of low pressure that are lumbering across the entirety of the lower 48, doing so over the course of a few days. You know, when we get into the summertime, got a lot of moisture present. It's hot and it's muggy out there. And what often happens is, we'll get a thunderstorm cluster that maybe blows up on the high plains across the Dakotas, and it kind of rides the jet stream through the Corn Belt. Maybe it'll, use a random date here. We'll say Tuesday evening, we get some storms blow up on the Dakotas, and they come down through Iowa and Illinois. And as they do so, they leave kind of a boundary between, where these storms went through. You've got that rain-cooled air, and then maybe south of the boundary where they didn't get the storms, it's still very hot and it's muggy. And you get kind of this subtle little boundary that can act like a focal point with both jet stream disturbances kind of wanting to favor that corridor and run along it, but also kind of getting a little extra lift there. So when you say mesoscale, season there, that's where we're looking for just these little boundaries that may be deposited by the previous day's thunderstorm activities. And that's where you get into a really kind of period of low predictability where you can say, well, we got the chance for severe weather here across Illinois tomorrow, but it all depends on where tonight's storms track and where they deposit this boundary, that's going to be, kicking off the storms later versus the big cold front associated with the big springtime storm system or something like that.
So you mentioned humidity. This is obviously a key aspect of our climate here, and we've had episodes about the corn sweats. But can you talk about how going beyond sort of your nighttime big systems, what sort of spectrum of thunderstorms can we see during the summertime?
Yeah, during the summertime, we can get some of the lowest predictability, but we can get some of the highest impact severe storms as well. And so we can get, what we call derechos, which are some of these higher end severe weather events with really widespread high impact, wind damage across the area. You can also get what's called, training thunderstorms, where we've got a lot of moisture. We get these storms that blow up on that hypothetical boundary that we just kind of talked about. And maybe they just kind of continue to develop along that boundary. And you get a very localized area, very heavy rainfall. And that can certainly create some problems as well. So we usually kind of move away from the big tornado outbreaks. And you just get kind of these big thunderstorm clusters that can have a lot of energy with them, a lot of damaging winds, and at times tornadoes, flooding, dangerous lightning, and we can get some hail from these as well.
Yeah, I remember, one of the most impactful severe weather events that I experienced here in Champaign-Urbana was back in July of 2020 when we had a day that, supercells developed on Northwest Flow, but then it produced large hail here in Champaign-Urbana. Pretty big impactful event. I believe you had some damage at your house.
Yeah, I referenced that one a lot. I got the whole exterior of our house replaced on a storm damage claim there from big hail, and that was not a day I expected big hail. And I was out doing my thing watching that storm. Of course, I decided to go out in the afternoon and watch thunderstorms develop on that boundary, and they did exactly that. And one of those storms moved over Urbana, and I sent my wife a text and said, hey, we may have some damaging winds coming through, just a heads up. And it's about 15 minutes later, I got a text that said, our windows are being broken by hail right now and everything. And you're exactly right. It's just one of those forecasts where we could say, there's probably going to be scattered storms that blow up here. A couple could be severe, but I was certainly not able to say damaging hail coming to Urbana, later on this afternoon. It's very, very tough to kind of pin where exactly these really intense storms could develop.
Yeah, so one other item of curiosity always from listeners is about lightning. So obviously going out at night and watching lightning here in the Midwest is one of my favorite things to do. But a lot of people have different terms for different phenomena that they observe. I'll talk about one of them here, heat lightning.
Yep.
Is this real? And what would you say it is?
Yeah. Well, you're seeing lightning. You're definitely seeing lightning when you're out there and, it's a summer night. You're maybe out in the country. I remember this a lot as a kid, you know, spend summers on the lake up in Wisconsin. And, you know, you can see these flashes on the horizon. And you're not hearing thunder usually yet. And so what you're seeing is not heat generating lightning. You're seeing distant thunderstorms. They're, you know, well off the horizon, you know, maybe even over the horizon there as the earth is kind of curving, but you're seeing the lightning kind of illuminating the upper atmosphere there. And, you know, there's a lot of moisture there that's maybe able to help kind of reflect that, but you're seeing lightning from very distant thunderstorms. You're not just seeing, you know, heat generating that. So it's likely you've got a really intense cluster of thunderstorms maybe 100 or more miles away. You know, sometimes we can see the tops of these storms very, very far away. And, you know, as a meteorologist, you go out and observe this a lot, just, you know, driving through the country and you'll see lightning flickering on the horizon and you pull up the radar and it's like, wow, like that's a storm in another state right now that I'm seeing the flickering on the horizon there. So it's real lightning, but it's not, you know, hot air generating lightning. It's just distant thunderstorms.
So if you're just joining us, this is Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois, and we're talking about summer weather in Illinois with Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Last year, Illinois experienced various flash flooding events. Chicago experienced what some called the Summer of Thousand-Year Storms, where the city was hit with back-to-back extreme rainfall events. Thousands of homes were flooded and local sewer systems were overwhelmed, backing water up into basements.
Now at the bottom of the hour, Chicago was hit hard by severe storms at least twice this past summer.
Storms so severe, in fact, that the city and Cook County declared the affected neighborhoods disaster areas after seeing how much flooding was caused.
Champaign also experienced its fair share of flash floods in June. Prior to a drought, actually, we had scattered showers that left Champaign-Urbana under a flood advisory. So, Andrew, what conditions lead to flash flooding developing, and why are flash floods common in the summertime?
Well, we kind of talked about this from a forecasting standpoint, but in the summer, again, we move away from having a very strong and intense jet stream like we have in the late winter and the early spring that's helping kind of move things along, and we get into a much more stagnant pattern where we have a lot of energy and a lot of moisture available for thunderstorms, but we don't have a very strong jet stream to move those storms along. And you can kind of think of it in an oversimplified way. A thunderstorm is simply a big object, you know, hanging out in the atmosphere that needs some wind to blow it along. So a lot of moisture and a lot of energy means we can generate some very intense storms that are producing very heavy rainfall rates, sometimes 2 to 4 inches per hour coming out of those storms. And if it's not moving a lot, then all of that rain is going to be deposited over a single location. And so we see this happen almost every summer, and it doesn't even depend, or sometimes doesn't matter if it's a very stormy summer or a kind of a drier summer. You know, we often end up with, you know, at least a time or two where we get one of these sometimes catastrophic flood events. You know, again, Chicago saw it. I think back to the Gibson City flood event that we had. I believe it was in August of 2020, I think is the year that that happened, about 5-6 years ago. And
take a look at that. Water everywhere in Gibson City, Illinois. That's east of Bloomington. 7 to 8 inches of rain fell this morning. Water up to the windows of a minivan. People who had to get rescued walked through hip-high water to get to higher ground. Others up to their chest.
That was just a case where, you know, I woke up, got ready to do the forecast. It was just a constant strobing lightning to the north up over kind of Rantoul and Gibson City, and a lot of thunder and lightning, and was watching this kind of stationary storm. And then that storm just didn't move. It kept generating in kind of the same spot. And suddenly from 4 a.m. to, you know, the early afternoon, you just had a storm that was not moving and dropping a lot of rain over a very kind of localized area versus, you know, a multi-day long duration, you know, rain event or something like that. It's very kind of localized and happens in the span of a few hours usually.
Yeah, so a lot of the most dangerous flash flooding happens in terrain, which we generally happen to be challenged with that around here. But we can see flash flooding here in Champaign-Urbana. And historically, you know, you grew up here. There were cases where campus town used to be flooded.
Yeah.
And this town has invested a lot in infrastructure, like some of the basins that you see off of Green Street, and now the new retention basin up in Garden Hills neighborhood in Champaign, which should help relieve a lot of those problems. But can we see flash flooding here in Champaign-Urbana? And What challenges do we face around here compared to other cities in Chicago, like Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just mentioned the Gibson City event. That was kind of, you know, fresh in my mind. And the reason I want to go back to it is because as I went to go cover this event and was coming in, I'm like, all of Gibson City is flooded. And, you know, you see this sometimes in areas like communities that are on a river or, you know, near a lake. And this was not that. This was just simply it rained so hard that the infrastructure and the soil couldn't absorb the soil or absorb the moisture. I'm sorry. And so you had this big aerial flash flood thing over a very localized area. So in Urbana-Champaign, you know, I'm sure I'm forgetting some specific dates, but one that really sticks with me is back in July of 2003, kind of in the first 10 days there, we got into a really stormy pattern. And then I think it was July 9th, we had this kind of same thing where in the afternoon and the evening, some storms blew up. We had tornado warnings in the area and it just stormed and stormed and stormed. And so, you know, my basement was flooded. I remember, you know, that being a big thing. But a lot of the roads across Champaign-Urbana were also flooded just because of the same thing. You know, the infrastructure was not able to keep up with it. And so that's kind of the big challenge here. You know, we don't have a lot of rivers that are kind of running through the area. You know, Villa Grove is very prone to that, you know, down near the Champaign and Douglas County areas. And you've certainly got those. And now here in Champaign-Urbana, we have the usual suspects, the viaducts. You know, Neal Street over by the ribeye is going to flood. And a lot of times it just comes down to that. Like, it's the too much rain in too small of a time for the infrastructure, the storm drains and the soil to keep up. And that's how we end up with flood events here. It's just a lot of rain in a short amount of time.
So what are some good steps you can do to prepare ahead of a potential flash flood?
Yeah, I mean, you want to stay aware of forecasts and that kind of thing, especially if you're traveling and you know, maybe driving across somewhere that's going to have one of these flash flood events. But it's all kind of just about preparing yourself for that potential to have too much water. And like I cover severe weather, I deal with severe storms all the time, but flooding and too much water is just a nightmare. So, you know, there are some things that you can do to prepare your home there, making sure you have good drainage, good gutters working, and, you know, make sure you've got a sump pump that is functioning. That's one of my, you know, most important pieces of our home. I feel like I'm always paranoid about the sump pump, making sure that it's running well and keeping the water out of the basement there. And just making sure you've got also a generator or a battery backup to keep that thing going. You know, if we're going to have big storms, you lose the power, then that water is just going to come right back up into your basement. So there may be other ways to prepare, but my own personal weather traumas really make me think about our basements here across Central Illinois when we get these big flash flood events.
Yeah, and oftentimes it can be a compound issue where there could be severe weather, and so people go down in the basement and then, you know, they might sleep down there, and then all of a sudden you've had 4 or 5 inches of rain overnight, and
yeah,
then you've got a sump pump issue.
Yeah, I mean, July 15, 2024, we had the big derecho and a lot of tornado warnings across northern and central Illinois, and so I almost felt like it was unfair. You know, at the end of the day here, I had a long day putting together the forecast in the morning. I covered the storms all afternoon and evening, and then it comes blowing through Urbana and knocks a tree down on the lines, and we lose power, and right before this, we had had the remnants of Tropical Storm Beryl come through central Illinois. So it wasn't just that we had heavy rain from those storms, but the week prior, we'd had about 5 to 6 inches of rain. And so the second that we lost power, whew, that water was coming right back up through the basement.
So if you're just joining us, this is Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois, and we're talking about summer weather in Illinois with Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist at Nutrien Ag Solutions. So looking at the other side, you know, we've been doing Weather Realness long enough that we captured the whole life cycle of the drought from last year, where it basically stopped raining around July 1st, and now we've recovered.
Yes.
So our seasonal forecast verified that it would be a wet spring, and it was, and our water recovered. So yay meteorology.
Yes.
But of course, summer, even though we have a normal outlook here, we could see the return of drought. So what roles do the increasing temperatures in summer tend to play in developing drought conditions?
You know, we get hot temperatures, especially when it's accompanied by a lot of sunshine. We can evaporate moisture very efficiently. So we have had that very wet spring that we wanted. You know, we kind of speculated that we were probably going to remove a lot of the drought. We didn't know if we would get it all the way gone here by the end of May, but we certainly did see that happen across at least central Illinois. And so, yeah, we trend into the hottest, driest time of the year across central Illinois. And even though we've had that very rainy spring, if you get 1, 2, maybe 3 weeks where the storms maybe take a break from your area and you get a lot of hot, sunny days, you can evaporate a lot of moisture out of the top layer of the soil, and that can get you into what's called a bit of a flash drought season or a flash drought situation.
So coming from Nutrien, you probably talk to a lot of farmers that are obviously looking at the potential for drought. Are there any times a year where drought can be worse for farmers than others?
It's been really interesting. And 2023 was a good example in kind of the resiliency of, you know, our crops that we've got, that we grow across the Corn Belt here. And that was because in 2023, we saw a very stormy spring as we kind of put the crops into the ground. We gave them a nice drink. And then we kind of shut the rain off in late May, June, into July. And then we brought some rain in at the very end of the summer just as we finished the crop. And so the crop ended up doing quite well in 2023. And so it was kind of an experiment on what if we just give rain to the crops here at the most crucial times as they start to emerge, and also now as we kind of finish out the crops. And so that kind of did shine a light on, it does appear that, you know, one of the most critical times is actually later on in the summertime when we're trying to kind of fill the grain of those crops. So you're seeing the tall corn plants and soybean plants out there already, and they're starting to grow those ears of corn, but we're trying to kind of fill those with moisture there, and kind of that's what kind of will make a big difference in your yield there. So it is important that as we get into kind of July, August, that we start to get some regular rains on there. But it does seem to be that we can really withstand at least a few weeks of some drought across the Corn Belt here with plant technology being where it is.
And you mentioned the term flash drought. Can you tell us what that is and how they sort of develop?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it might sound like a weird term, but you just flip it and say flash flood, and it's kind of what you're looking at, versus a flood, which is, you know, maybe a longer duration, maybe happens over the course of several days, whereas a flash flood is too much rain happening in a very short amount of time and kind of flooding things out in a small scale kind of way. Same thing with drought. You get these long-term droughts, which is what we've talked about earlier in the year, that drought that began kind of the end of the summer, lasted through the fall and the winter, a period of 4 to 6, maybe 8 months, and across a wide geographic area. Well, you kind of shorten that and do the same thing. And you'll go into June, July, August. You get a stretch of maybe 1 to 2 weeks where you're consistently seeing those high temperatures in the mid-90s, and you got a lot of sunshine. You can kind of think of our moisture as your bank account. You can kind of think of it as a moisture budget there. And if you're, you know, putting less moisture into your account than you're evaporating out, you're going to slowly get into, or quickly, you know, in this case, get into a bit of a moisture deficit and you know, in that moisture budget and end up in a bit of a drought situation. So it's all about the hot, sunny, you know, conditions kind of zapping that moisture out of the top layer of the soil. And then, you know, what can also happen if you've had an especially, you know, rainy spring is as those crops are getting established, the corn and the soybean plants, if they have a lot of moisture available during or near the top layer of the soil, maybe their roots don't extend quite as deep into the soil, you know, looking for that. So if you take the moisture out of the top layer, they're suddenly, you know, like, hey, where's my moisture? I'm thirsty now. So that's kind of a, you know, overcomplicated way of looking at it. It's just about, you know, a quick transition towards a very hot, dry period.
So last segment here, I'll talk a little bit about heat and heat safety. So heat waves during the summer tend to be humid and dangerous. And obviously, you know, families here in central Illinois, you've got kids going to summer camp, you got working outside, you've got even home improvement people out working in the garden. We have to be a little careful. Can you talk about some things people should do to mitigate the heat for people this summer?
Yeah, you really want to limit the, you know, amount of time that you're doing strenuous activities during the hottest part of the day. So a lot of industries are good about this, you know, agriculture really good about let's get working in the fields early in the morning. Let's take a break during the hottest part of the day and maybe kind of finish up during the evening, even though it's still probably quite hot and muggy during the late evenings here in the summertime. But trying to kind of limit the amount of time you do these strenuous activities during the hottest part of the day. You want to wear loose fitting clothing. You know, and if you're working outside, you know, it might sound counterintuitive, but kind of a long sleeve flannel, something that's loose fitting, but will kind of protect you from the sun is really important as well. You want to be drinking a lot of water, stay hydrated, make sure you're eating good meals. You've got that energy as well, because the, you know, working out in the heat is going to help you work through that water and work through your energy there pretty quickly. So staying cool is a challenge, but you got to kind of pick when you're doing your field work and then make sure that you're dressed appropriately when you are out there as well.
Yeah, these things can kind of sneak up on you because one second you're like, oh, I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden the stress of the heat stress and even heat stroke can become a real problem. I've experienced this myself doing work outside on pavement.
Like, yeah.
All of a sudden you're going south, you don't feel good, and you really got to pay attention to those heat advisories that the Weather Service are putting out.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to put your pride aside sometimes and, just save it for a safer time and at least limit your activity during those hottest parts of the day. I know it can be fun to... I played baseball growing up. I always loved pitching on a hot, muggy day. It just felt easy to get loose, but you're right. You got to really go heavy on the water and be real about the amount of energy you're expending out there.
Thanks for speaking with us, Andrew.
I'm always happy to. Thanks for the invite.
So we've been talking with Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist with Nutrien Ag Solution. Thanks for joining us on Weather Realness. Have a weather or climate question you want us to answer? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu. Coming up next, how did we forecast the weather in the past before modern technology? Answers are coming up on Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.